Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. I was just pointing out to Rich during the break before he did the award-winning
trending
now. Cleveland has now fired a Lou and a Hugh.
You like that?
Within the last little bit.
This is a Dr. Seuss book.
PFT commenter made a great point about this.
Yeah, I bet.
Before the firing of Hugh Jackson, this is the sixth straight Browns head coach that has been fired after the second game of the season against the Steelers.
Wait, what?
You know, this is the sixth straight Browns head coach that has been fired after the second game of the season against the Steelers.
Oh, gotcha.
We can't beat Pittsburgh. You got to go.
Yeah, see you later. We tried twice.
You got to get out of here.
Yeah, they are a mess. I thought with the two wins, I thought that might be enough to sort of satisfy them, but apparently not the case.
Apparently not.
They do have some talent there, so maybe they expect a little bit more.
They don't have that much talent either.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Back-to-back, number one overall picks, Jarvis Landry. I think it's not bad.
I'm not as big a Baker Mayfield fan as you are. But...
Oh, I like Mayfield.
All right, let's go back to David Price. You had a little snippet of it there in the open.
Yes.
Post-game last night when David Price was meeting with the media. Now, you will listen to this. We'll play it for you. And then I already mentioned earlier what I think he was trying to say. He's just awful at this. He does not communicate clearly
That's
at times.
True. All right.
So this is what David Price talked about last night.
David, you always talked about how this was going to happen someday and that you just needed to pitch better in the postseason. You were always open about it. Now that you've succeeded at this stage, what does it feel like? And how difficult was it to overcome all that?
It was tough, absolutely. To answer that question in spring training, day and day. Over and over and over and over. Anytime it got to September, playoffs, I hold all the cards now. And that feels so good. I can't tell you how good it feels to hold that trump card. You guys have had it for a long time. You've played that card extremely well, but you don't have it anymore. None of you do, and that feels really good.
So I thought when I first saw, because then he also followed up with a tweet.
What everybody's done is taken the snippet of "I hold all the cards now."
Well, no, because he tweeted that,
which we played in the open as well.
So at 2:06 a.m., he tweeted four shushing face emojis.
Is that what you call that?
Hold all the cards now.
That's what it's called.
Shushing face emoji.
It's shushing face.
Okay, yeah. Gotcha.
So he did four shushing face emojis. ... Hashtag I hold the cards now. My first reaction was, you have a player opt-out, you dope. You've always held the cards. What are you talking about? But then you go back to the press conference, and it's more about how now he's this great postseason pitcher.
Well, and he doesn't have to answer that question
anymore.
Right.
He used to be the worst postseason pitcher. Now he's the best postseason pitcher. I guess that's sort of what he's getting at here. So now you can't play that card anymore. It's like, all right, so that's fine. Like, hold a grudge. That's great. I hold a grudge. You hold a grudge. Everybody's holding a grudge.
Yeah, and you
that's
respect
fine.
That.
I respect the hell out of that. But then that leads into the question, all right, is he still so mad at people for pointing out how bad he was? Is that going to force him out of Boston? Is he going to leave Boston because of that? He loves his teammates. He loves his manager. And he just won a World Series. And as great as he
pitched, I still don't think he likes it here.
I don't think he does either.
I mean, he likes winning. Don't get me wrong. He loves
being
a world champion. He loves, you know, getting that monkey off his back, all that stuff. I don't think he loves it here.
And even the postseason, as great as it was, do you think he would get more than $127 million from somebody? He's 33. Like, I don't think they will. If he does, that team is dumb.
Here's what I think could happen, theoretically. You know, he gets $127 million over 4 years here. Could he get $135 million over 5 years somewhere?
Yeah, maybe.
You know, that sort of thing.
Right, knocked out in the average annual, but you get a little
bit
more.
You know, I get more money. And...
Yeah, so maybe. And then that's the way that the Players Association will say, okay,
like,
you're helping us out here. Everybody's making more money. But I wonder, like, is that, if you're okay, first of all, he gets standing ovations more than he gets booed. He just does. At Fenway Park, they love him. They love him there.
For the opener of the World Series, Dave Roberts got maybe the loudest ovation. Yeah. They'd give him a bigger ovation today than they did.
They would. They love that guy now. He's been great.
This would be like Mariano Rivera coming back to Fenway for the opener the following season.
He's been awesome. Everybody loved
it. But Price was close.
Yeah, people. So I think fans, and there, I mean, we've already taken calls from some that still say, hey, you know, the guy bugs me and he's always going to bug me. That's fine. But there's more and more people who like David Price. His teammates love him. So you're really going to get that upset about a few media members that say, that just pointed out how bad you were in the playoffs? Like, is that going to prevent you from staying here? Like, we'll see. I mean, I guess that's because I say that I hold the cards now. It also has something to do with that because he does have an opt-out this year. And we've talked about it off and on for three straight years. Like, when he signed this deal, it was a seven-year deal. And after the third year, he could opt out. And everybody knows, well, if the guy's pitching well, you know, maybe he will opt out and try to make more money. I just don't know if it would be out there for him.
Yeah, I'm more concerned about the J.D. Martinez opt-out than I am the David Price opt-out.
So Martinez opt-out's after next year.
After next
year.
So
at least you have him.
And if I were the Red Sox, I'd be working on that this offseason.
Yeah, Martinez and Betts, although those guys are in different spots. I mean, Martinez is already making a lot of money right now. He clearly thought he could make even more money off of last year, had a great season this year, is perfect for Fenway Park. And so maybe he'd be more willing to get rid of the options, add some more money. I don't know about another year, but they could maybe figure something out. Mookie Betts is just going to wait till the end. Mookie Betts, if he's smart, he's just going to wait till he's eligible to be a free agent and have everybody bidding on him, and he's going to make a zillion dollars. David Price becomes an interesting case study, though, because now all of a sudden, it seemed like for so long, even if he hated it, it would have made no sense for him to opt out. But now, after putting together a near World Series MVP performance, maybe a team, you know, would offer, at least in the ballpark, whereas before they wouldn't have. He would have had to give a lot of money back. So I think he has a real decision to make. That's what it comes down to. And we'll see. I mean, there's going to be fans, I think, on both sides of it. And I don't know when that decision has to be made. I don't know what the date is on that, but that's going to be a huge story of the offseason.
As Ken Rosenthal pointed out, he has been snippy with the media on a couple of occasions here. He feels that he is ill-treated by the media and sports talk radio in Boston. You heard him there talking about, I hold all the cards now, meaning you can't play that card on me anymore. That's over with.
Right.
I've performed in the postseason. I performed well. We won a World Series. He even
I hold all the cards now.
Yeah, that.
Yeah, good for you.
He even talked about when he went to see Dr. Andrews, Dr. James Andrews, about his elbow a year or so ago.
Yeah.
David, to start game two, relieve in game three, warm up in game four, start game five. I mean, what did you learn about yourself along the way?
Nothing. I mean, I told you guys, Dr. Andrew said I had a special elbow, and I'm sure you guys ridiculed me and mocked me and made fun of me and did everything that you guys do. You know, I wasn't lying when he told me that. And now you guys see that. You know, I feel good right now. I didn't want to come out of the game in the eighth inning. I wanted to continue to go. If it took me 120 pitches or however many pitches it took to get 27 outs tonight, that's what I wanted to be able to do. I felt good. I still feel good. That was very special.
David, you're a world champion forever now, so congratulations.
Thank you. Who was that guy at the end?
I don't know.
David, embrace these moments. Take a lot of pictures, David.
I have a feeling that's the Major League Baseball. You know, remember, it was always Phyllis when Terry Francona was doing the press conferences.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Tito loved Phyllis, and she would run him. I have a feeling that's who was.
You're a World Series champion, David.
So there was. Now, he was snippy, as you can hear. He was snippy with the media.
Oh, he always is. He said unique elbow is what it was.
Yeah,
and we did make fun of him for
it. And we did.
Because it's outrageous.
You, more than anybody
else. Well, it was an outrageous comment.
So there was one point where he was not snippy. And where he actually, I think, got a little emotional.
Your teammates speak so highly of you. What does it mean to you to be a great teammate?
uh, a lot. I mean, this is a game we get to play. You know, it's the relationships that you make, you know, while you do this, while you play this game that,
dang it.
That's what makes this game so special.
I mean, that's...
I mean, I think it all is getting to him now, you know? Like, think about it, for years. The guy's been in the majors for a long time, and he was bad in the playoffs for most of his career. And then he was able to finally overcome that, but not just overcome that and pitch well in the ALCS and then the team loses. Or, you know, pitch well and all of a sudden, you know, ERA is 3, so it wasn't his fault, but the team loses. He pitched the last game of the world, like a World Series clinching victory. He was the winner.
And pitched
like,
great.
Like that was, he couldn't have scripted it better for Price. I mean, maybe it's a complete game, I guess, in his mind, as he was saying, he didn't want to come out. But the idea that this guy who was awful in the playoffs won multiple games and won 2 World Series games, like nobody could have seen that coming. That wasn't just haters. That was people looking at his track record. That's what that was.
He became the first pitcher in Major League Baseball history to win both the League Championship Series and World Series clinchers in the same year, defeating Cy Young winners in both.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
With Verlander, obviously, in the Houston series, and then he beats Kershaw last night. Look, he was nails. Nobody can say anything negative about how he pitched in this series because he was great. The thing that really choked him up, though, was the fact that his teammates.
Yeah.
Now, it was
obvious.
Your teammates
speak so highly of you. What does it mean to you to be a great teammate?
And it's been a blast. I think the show has been a lot of fun. Love coming to work every day. Like, that's a great thing. And we've become friends, which, again, I would not have imagined that being the case. So, going to miss you, but like Dale said, you're not going to be far.
Listen, first of all, I was sick that day, which everybody knows. David Price was not sick.
Lucy wasn't feeling well here. She didn't cry.
I haven't cried once today.
She all hopped up on NyQuil. What's the difference?
she's robo-tripping over here.
Yeah, she doesn't even know she's here. So I wouldn't compare
her
to
her. By the way, did you see now at CVS, they have NyQuil in the K-cups? You slap those babies into your Keurig and heat them up.
Really?
Away you go. Yes.
Interesting.
I saw those. That is true. I've been in that aisle recently.
They look like Tide Pods. Just pop them in. Just pop them down.
Don't tell people to do that.
Tide Pods.
Don't eat Tide Pods.
Thank you, Gronk. Yeah, but he's obviously very emotional. But that's one thing that we have known since the beginning, since he's been here, is the teammates love him. Even in 2016, when he first got here and really got off to a terrible start, and then finally by the end of the season got his ERA just below 4 on the season, and he had these weird comments, and people didn't seem to like him. Fans were kind of against him, all the Twitter stuff. But never once has a teammate ever said a bad thing about him.
No, they love the guy. They always have.
And even guys that play with him in Tampa say that, guys in Toronto, Detroit. So that's one thing where he likes these guys, but I don't know if that would even necessarily keep him here because he seems so well-liked that he could go to another clubhouse. And they'll like him there, too. That's what I think.
We've got a little montage that Jason worked very hard on today, kind of.
Yes, he
encapsulating
did.
Encapsulating the whole thing.
Did a
thing.
Nice job, Jason.
That is today's Noon 30, and it's coming up next.
The Red Sox are your 2018 World Series champions.
Swing and a miss, Wrigley, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship. The Boston Red Sox beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1.
We act and talk about it right now. Now back to Dale and Keith on Sports Radio WEEI.
As far as everybody thinking that he'd be the ideal type of leader for the Boston Red Sox organization. But welcome aboard, Alex Cora.
The pitch. Looping drive, left center field, on the go. The left fielder spinning. He and Kiermaier get crossed up. The ball was rolling behind them all the way toward the warning track. Here goes the runner rounding second on his way to third. Nunez being waved home. Here comes the throw to the plate, and he's safe with an inside the park home run.
1-1. Mookie swings and he hammers one deep to left field. Way back and gone. Home run, Mookie Betts.
That's the benefit of having power throughout the lineup. We're just a walk and a bloop away from getting back in the game and then a swing away from tying it or getting ahead, and that's very important.
Here's the pitch, and it's swung. There's a drive to left field. Long gone. Out of Fenway Park completely. A 3-run homer, number 42 for J.D. Martinez.
I didn't realize this was going to be so emotional, Alex.
Yeah, I'm, you know, I'm becoming emotional.
The 2-2. Swing and a miss, strike three. The Red Sox have won the American League's Eastern Division Championship for the third straight year. For the first time in Red Sox history, they have finished in first place in three consecutive seasons. There's a drive to left field, back by the wall. Is it high enough? Yes! Three-run homer into the first row of the monster seats by J.D. Martinez.
The 1-2. Swung on, tapped down to third, slowly hit. Charging is Nunez. He fires to first. Stretch! Got him! What a play by Pierce! And the Red Sox have won the division series against the Yankees.
And the 1-1 to JBJ. Swinging a high drive to right field. Reddick going back. Back to the warning track. This ball is going, and it is gone! A grand slam for Jackie Bradley Jr. Kimbrel at the belt. He fires. Swinging a fly ball left field. Benintendi moving back. Back toward the wall. He reaches up. He makes the catch. And the Red Sox have won the American League pennant for the 14th time in their history.
Do you appreciate more how hard it is to get here and the rare opportunity in World Series?
Yeah, to get to this point, it's hard. And I only got the opportunity to, I mean, we have plenty of opportunities, but I only made it once in 07.
And he swings and drives one left center field. Deep. Hernandez back at the wall. Goodbye. Home run. Steve Pearce and the Red Sox lead it 2-0. Sale winds, he fires. Swing and a miss, strike three, it's over. The Red Sox have won the World Championship. The Boston Red Sox beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 5-1. They win the World Series 4-1. And the Red Sox become the first team in the 21st century with 4 World Championships. Can you believe it?
These fans right here, they have, you know, the Red Sox are, or what are they?
They're World Champions, baby. World Champions of the world.
Day one, you guys bought into the concept. Day one, we were a family. Throughout the year, we added people to the equation. People are talking about the Red Sox. I'm proud of you guys, but honestly, thank you. Thank you.
Good job by Jason Rossi putting that together from the ascension of Alex Cora as the first-year manager. Not just the first-year manager of the Red Sox. First time he's ever managed in the major leagues. There's a Jeff Passan story that's out there. He got the inside story of what was going on in the clubhouse after the media left last night. So he says the players had all kind of gone down the hall. The media was ushered out. The players come back into the room. And the first thing they do is they grab Dave Dombrowski and they throw him into a bin filled with ice and water that had been holding all the champagne and the beer and everything.
That's awesome.
So they chucked him in. He came out of the thing, maybe a little cold. He says, a little wet. That's all right. We'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
And at about that time, Mitch Moreland came back down the hallway with Alex Cora over his shoulder. They bring Alex Cora into the room and fire him into the bin.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
And, it's just the players and just the management now. There's no media in there except Passan, apparently. And so that's how they celebrated afterwards. He's got a whole lengthy piece here about how this whole thing came together, the job that Dombrowski did. I mean, the best move Dave Dombrowski made, obviously, was hiring Alex Cora. But even
I don't know. Probably, you know, well, that is, you're right.
But that's the big
move. But right after that, though, I mean, because, you know, he's been here long enough where he has added a lot of the guys to the mix. You know, he was the one who brought in David Price. You know, he was the one who brought in Chris Sale. But then just this season in particular, Nathan Eovaldi, who was on the short list of MVPs for the entire playoffs, Nathan Eovaldi was great. They bring him in for nothing, and they also bring in Steve Pearce for nothing. So those two moves right there, let alone all the other moves. How about they start the year J.D. Martinez? Now, I know it's just money, but still, they identified him. They gave him the money. Other teams didn't.
When apparently nobody else wanted him.
Which was very odd, but they did, and they it took forever, by the way. Remember, they were down in spring training, and John Henry's talking to the media before they'd even gotten J.D. Martinez. That's how long the process took. But the year began really taking last year's team, which was a division winner yet disappointing, and they swap managers and they add J.D. Martinez. That's how the year began.
And, by the way, sent Hanley Ramirez packing.
Sent Hanley Ramirez packing and was able to take that team, add the right pieces to it, and you saw what the results were. To me, it kind of combines a super talented team like 07 with a team that like loved each other in 2013. And if you have that combo, that's what the 2018 team was.
Because I know you appreciate a good grudge. You appreciate, sure, you know, carrying a good grudge.
Well, yeah, you're passionate about it.
I'll give credit here to the New York Post. Did you see the back page of their sports section today?
No, what'd they do?
The back page of the sports section today is a picture of Clayton Kershaw. And the headline is, Dodgers lose, with an asterisk. And then in small letters down below, it says, Sox win ninth title, only 18 behind Yanks.
Jeez.
And the subheadline is, LA series dream over as Kershaw hammered for 3 home runs. I kind of give him begrudging credit
fine.
Here.
That's fine.
I'm sure it bothers the heck out of them to, you know, give the Red Sox credit, and they don't.
I don't mind that, because if the Yankees had won, I think we'd probably say the same thing. We'd say Dodgers lose. You know, Dodgers lost that.
And I offer up because, you know, Red Sox fans are kind of on a high right now. Let me bring you back to earth a little bit.
Uh-oh.
The Atlantic has a piece today written by Haley Glatter, not familiar with her work. The headline is, the 2018 World Series was good for the Red Sox and bad for baseball. The subheadline is, with lengthy games and a lack of star power, this October fell flat in many ways.
Well, I kind of agree with some of that. Like, to me, it wasn't, but you're also talking about a Boston Red Sox fan. So you'd have to go outside of New England, I think, to get a real sense on what people think of baseball. Like, 7.5-hour game, I thought it was kind of cool. It was getting kind of crazy by the end of it, but it was still, you don't see that every day. It was breaking all kinds of records. It was just different to watch that and be a part of it. I think the Red Sox do have stars, but with the caveat of baseball stars. Like, they're not NBA stars. They're not NFL stars. They're baseball stars. I think Mookie Betts is a baseball star. I think Clayton Kershaw is a baseball star. But the reality is they're not on the same level as those other sports are. And I think nationally, if you see the ratings go down nationally, that does kind of speak to what the interest is if your team's not in it, how invested would you be in the World Series?
No, there, you know, and part of this piece talks about the dip in ratings, not locally, they were great, but nationally, and it speaks to a larger problem for baseball in general, the Red Sox being, you know, the face of it here with their World Series championship. It talked about attendance numbers being down this year in baseball, TV numbers being down, and they're saying baseball's got issues, and unfortunately, the Red Sox sort of epitomize it for many people.
Well, even, you know, the Game 4, and again, we're not going to complain about it because it's the World Series and your team is in it. But Game 4, it's not extra innings, it's nothing crazy, and still, that game's 4 hours. You know, and I think you're just going to have a hard time. Like, last night's game actually flew by pretty quick. It was like 3 and change. Like, that was one of the quicker games that you're going to see. But I could definitely see non-Red Sox or non-Dodger fans saying, I'll find out who wins tomorrow.
As Haley Glatter points out, regular season attendance hit a 14-year low this year, down by nearly 10 million people since its 2007 peak.
It's not good.
And ratings lagged. It said the Game 1 drawing the fourth fewest viewers for any World Series opener on record.
Now it's, that's terrible.
Now, and obviously what they're saying is you couldn't possibly compare to the 2016 World Series. Cubs were winning their first championship in 100 years and all that stuff. But the numbers since then, Red Sox numbers this year are down from last year.
If you think about, for as far as baseball is concerned, two of the great stories they had for years and years and years were, will the Red Sox ever win and will the Cubs ever win? Well, you can cross both of those things off. So how exciting is it, again, outside of Boston to see, hey, the team that's never going to win, they're in it. No, they've actually won 4 times now. And even the Cubs, I know they've only won once, but they're a good team now. So if they got back to the World Series, say they get back there next year, there's not going to be any kind of spike. Like, you wanted to see the loser finally win it. That's gone. And there's not another one of those teams out there, right? Like the Dodgers, like, oh, they haven't won since 88. You're like, yeah, okay. It's not that long ago. And so there's not a team that would really, I think, spike the rating either.
Joe's on the cell phone. Hey, Joe.
Good afternoon, fellas. How are you?
Good. Great. How are you?
I just want a quick question. You know, Rich Hill, being, you know, from Boston and all, when they took him out the other night, that controversy with his manager saying, you know, one thing and Rich saying it was a little different.
Yeah.
The manager went out just to talk, but Rich gave him the ball, and couldn't the manager give him the ball back?
I think what they were saying is at that point, Rich Hill had already checked out of the game, and I think that would have been tough to be like, no, you're in here.
Hill basically took himself out of the game. Once he hands the ball, I can't even envision a manager saying, hey, come back here.
But it really speaks to a lack of communication between the two. I mean, first of all, if every single time during the year Dave Roberts went to the mound when Rich Hill was on the mound and he came out, you can kind of understand why Rich Hill would come out of the game. So I don't know why Dave Roberts couldn't have sent the pitching coach out there if they just wanted to talk to him or what. Or, I don't know, I also blame Rich Hill because why have that awkward conversation in the dugout and say, hey, keep an eye on me. Like, no kidding.
Yeah.
The World Series. We're not going to leave you out there to allow four runs to score.
And look, I do understand. You know, every single pitch is a grind. I understand that. You know, it's a World Series. You're facing elimination. You're
really
putting everything.
He was like a lunatic, too. I know. Like, come on.
Sounded like Monica Seles.
He really did.
So I do understand that. But he basically took himself out of the game.
He did. He was just waiting for somebody to come get him. He's like, I pitched six. I did well. Goes out there. What, he got an out, gave up a runner on base.
And their bullpen sucked in this series.
The Red Sox crushed their bullpen.
So if I'm Rich Hill, you know, it's like David Price never wanted to come out of the game. He wanted to keep going.
None of the guys did.
You know, I can go. Yeah. Let me keep going. Rich Hill is like,
thank God.
Hey, you got somebody warmed up out there?
And it's really bizarre because he pitched really well. Like, for a guy... And as Chris Sale was screaming in the dugout, he has two pitches. He throws 90.
No, he didn't say two pitches. He said two
bleeping
pitches.
He throws a 75-mile-an-hour curveball, and he throws a 90-mile-an-hour fastball. That's all he did. And he was getting everybody out. It was a great performance.
Was that the David Ortiz moment for this championship run? Remember when Ortiz gathered everybody in the dugout and
I think it was
blistered
huge.
Him?
Yeah, it was huge because
Holt said, we were afraid he was going to yell at us again if we didn't do that.
Better get going. Because after the 18-inning game, I think all the pitchers were fired up. I think the pitchers were so inspired by Nathan Eovaldi that they all wanted to go out there and give a great effort. Because if you told me Eduardo Rodriguez was going to pitch into the sixth inning and not allow any runs, no chance. So he was all kinds of fired up, but the bats were asleep. The bats couldn't do anything. And then Chris Sale loses his mind and it turned things around. Yeah, that's definitely on the short list of great moments from the World Series.
Bob's in Waltham. Hey, Bob.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's going on?
You know, I'll tell you, can you imagine if David Price had done what Rich Hill did? Keep an eye on me.
Alex is coming out to talk to him and he hands him the ball.
He's like,
and
that's it for me, Skip. You're like, oh, my God.
You'd be like, oh, there's the same old sensitive Price. And by the way, I want to apologize to Price today because I'm very hard on him, calling him all kinds of nicknames. But he proved us all wrong. And the other thing, Alex Cora, I mean, I love everything he's been doing, but I was still... Don't put Eovaldi in game three. He's your game four starter. If you put him in and you lose, you guys are going to be screwed.
Yeah, except they weren't.
Overcame that. I know, and it was just amazing. I mean, the whole team thing here is just great for these guys. And I do think, by the way, that Price and Pierce should have got co-MVPs. I thought they were going to give it to Price, and then I thought, I know how Pierce did, but it's like I would have liked co-MVPs.
Yeah, I would have had no problem, and I normally hate that sort of thing.
Did they say what the voting was?
They never do.
Yeah, because it had to be just by like one. Like it was that close between the two.
I mean, I have no problems with Pierce. If they had announced...
No, either guy. Those are the two guys.
And I understand you probably say you can't do co-MVPs because Chevy's not giving away two trucks and all that stuff. I mean, I do understand.
Something tells me Price would have been okay if you didn't give him the truck. You see what Price drives around in? He's got that souped-up thing.
Gigantic, a monster
truck. I don't think he's driving that around today. The free one, I mean.
An urban assault vehicle.
Yeah, he's got that. He'd be like, Steve, you can have the truck. You can take the truck. Give me the trophy. I'm taking it.
617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith. Oh, by the way, according to Ian Rappaport, Rob Gronkowski's playing tonight.
Good. Good.
I know that was a little concern for some folks.
Well, he didn't play last week.
According to Ian Rappaport, he's playing tonight.
Yes.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I hold all the cards now, and that feels so good. So, that feels so good. I can't tell you how good it feels to hold that trump card. You guys have had it for a long time. You've played that card extremely well, but you don't have it anymore. None of you do, and that feels really good.
David Price. Now, again, if you take the snippet out...
And, I have the trump
by the
card!
Way, and by the way, we were guilty of doing it in our open today. If you take the snippet out, I hold all the cards, now you think, oh, he's talking about the opt-out. That's not what he was talking about.
No, he's saying that you can never say a bad thing about him again.
No, he didn't exactly say that either.
Well, what is he saying, then?
He's saying you don't have that trump card to play about how I'm a failure in the playoffs. You can't.
Right.
That's over.
He can pitch in the playoffs now. Now, there were years that he couldn't. And those still exist on the resume. They're still there. But he can pitch in the playoffs. And I guess, you know, for people who said he couldn't, like myself, we were wrong. He can pitch successfully in the playoffs. So
I hold all the cards now.
All the cards.
Were you as distracted as I was by Mary Hart last
night?
The
entire series. Last night? Oh, all series long in LA.
Why was she sitting on the ground at one point?
I didn't get that part.
She was sitting in her chair for a while. She's just to the right there. You know, there's no boards or anything in front. Then the next thing I know, she's sitting on the ground. Then she moves
over
there.
I was on the floor for a while. Maybe she's... the only thing I can think of is, you know, the superstitious people who are like, well, I was in the kitchen when they scored a run. I'm going back to the kitchen. Yeah. Maybe she sat on the ground for like a strikeout or something. I don't know what she was doing. But she was up, she was down. Then she was in the third row. I'm like, is that Mary Hart again in the third row? And then it bothered me how distracted I was by her.
You were mad at
I'm
yourself.
Like, there's a World Series is going on. And I'm like looking over. I'm like, where's Mary Hart doing? Oh, she's wearing the sweater today. There she is. I did know going in, though, that she was the super fan. She was the number one Dodgers fan.
I have no issue. She's
been
she's
with
there
them
all
since
the
they
time.
Were the Brooklyn Dodgers, I'm sure.
Now, at some point, because, you know, my wife finally watched a World Series game last
night. Good
for her. And she's the one who says, is that Mary Hart?
Mary Hart.
Yes, it is.
It was the who's who last night. It was Pat Sajak. It was Mary Hart. It was...
Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel embarrassed themselves.
What do you mean? They love each other. They're best buds.
Embarrassed themselves.
You don't like those guys?
That was a funny video they posted.
Oh, I didn't see the video.
How awkward was it with Ben Affleck next to them? I thought he was the third wheel.
Yeah, I thought he was in
Ben's,
rehab.
Ben's like going, I'm the guy in rehab and you two are looking like this.
Yeah, I don't know. But those guys were cutting it up.
Oh, we have the audio. Time. You got to pull the audio up.
Of those guys?
Oh, yeah. They posted a video.
No, I don't think
funny.
I saw it.
Oh, it was
I was minding my own business.
Thigh slapper.
Tony Robbins was there. So Tom
I didn't
Brady
see
was
him.
Excited. Oh, how could you miss him?
I didn't see Tony Robbins. I saw Pat Sajak. Put the phone down.
Yeah,
you're
Sajak,
in a game, Pat.
Good seats, though, for Sajak.
Yeah, he didn't care. He wasn't watching.
What a job he has.
He was texting going, I wish I was home.
You know, he's very kind of snarky with the guy. Like, he sneaky makes fun of everybody on that show. If you sit
see,
and actually
I
watch Wheel of Fortune,
Alex Trebek is snarky.
Alex Trebek is, I'm smarter than you.
Yeah.
Trebek or Sajak is just, you're an idiot. Like, that's what he kind of does. He kind of jabs everybody. Like, oh, you finally got one. Finally got a puzzle. And they're like, what?
All right, you ready for a chortle?
See, I... A what?
A good chortle.
Oh, I thought better you were saying something else. I know these guys. These guys, I think, are funny.
Hi, this is Matt Damon. I'm with that guy. I wore the I'm with stupid shirt first, and then guess who shows up with one? I'll be back.
Well, because I actually am with stupid, so that's why I did.
Dale, you were right.
It's just
that
what are they,
was not
what
great.
Are they doing?
They got the I'm with stupid shirts down,
which by the way,
and obviously
is,
was not scripted.
It's
Matt Damon
sad
trying to go
enough.
Off script. Yeah, it's a good joke though. They're bringing the I'm with stupid shirts back.
Oh yeah, that's going to be a thing now.
Yeah, that wasn't great. But they had a whole list of celebrities. Rob Lowe was at some of the games. He's a handsome devil.
Nomar and Mia Hamm were in attendance last night.
There you go, power couple.
Well, Nomar
there.
Works.
He does
part
work
of the
Dodgers,
telecast.
That's true.
I saw earlier Rob Lowe, he was doing a picture with Sandy Koufax.
Oh, Koufax!
Which I have to admit, I'm a little jealous about it. Imagine if you had a picture with
Sandy Koufax.
Sandy Koufax.
I don't know what I would do with it.
Who looks really good,
he
by
looks
the way.
Super young. How old is this guy?
I don't
what
know.
Did he pitch?
He like, looks really great.
Yeah, he looks great. But yeah, the Mary Hart thing was driving me nuts. So then she was doing see when she was dancing, when Kimbrel was in? She was, like, trying to mock Kimbrel, but she was, like, jumping up and
it's
down.
Like she was doing, and it wasn't just the one arm.
She did both
up.
Arms
it was both
out.
Arms
it's like, are you watching?
Hopping.
Both arms
it's
aren't.
It's like, is this the gorilla dance? What
she
are we
nuts.
Doing here?
So I posted a video of her dancing. Do you know how many views that thing got?
A gajillion.
Like 100,000 views of her just jumping around like an idiot. I was like, this is...
Well, you know, she was doing everything she could do. She actually did more than Manny Machado
did. Oh,
did
you see...
To help the Dodgers.
Game three. So I'm actually a little worried. We might need to send somebody out there. Game three, Larry King was there. Now, it was a bit of a Weekend at Bernie's situation.
Oh, boy.
Not there at game four. Not there at game five. Do we know if he's still with us?
I don't think he was with us during the 12th inning.
Good point. And
he never moved. Mary Hart was bouncing around.
Mary Hart wouldn't stop moving.
My wife said to me at one point, does she have all those seats in that row?
Because
she's over
hers.
There. She's over here.
Then she's like, the seat's not comfortable enough. I'm going to sit on the ground. I didn't know what she was doing. But yeah, Larry King was there. And then I think the dude, the other old dude, I think is Mary Hart's husband, is what I've been led to believe.
The guy who's been next to her.
The old guy sitting beside
Super
her.
Super old guy.
Yeah, and then my catty wife said, he looks a lot older than she does.
Yes, yes. Yes, he does. What's that about? What's that story, you think? Should we dive into that?
A May-November romance going for the...
Now, you guys mentioned Sandy Koufax. I don't know if you saw the tweet by Fox Sports. They tweeted out that Rob Lowe was hanging out with Bill Nye.
That's terrible. And I hate Bill Nye.
That's terrible.
I hate Bill Nye Do after
Dale's mortal enemy.
Oh, yeah, because I carry a grudge, Keith.
Oh, yeah.
After the Deflategate stuff.
You should carry a grudge.
Thank you, Rich.
Mary Hart was Miss South Dakota, 1970.
What's a small state?
She is 60,
to be honest. There were,
well, that's mean.
There were seven candidates.
Gail, she was the semifinalist for Miss America in 1971. Thank you very much.
She's a very handsome woman.
She was. Come on. Leave her alone. She looks good. She's 67. She looks
a handsome woman.
For 67, she looks great. She was originally married to Terry Hart, so she stole that name. Sort of a Susan Sarandon situation where you take the name and then you become more famous than that person. So well done by her. She's now married to Bert Sugarman.
Is that who that was?
Yes, Bert Sugarman is 79, despite looking 109. Bert Sugarman.
Now, she looks younger than she is.
Yeah, Bert Sugarman.
He looks considerably older than he is.
He looks very experienced, is what I'm saying. But anyway, those were the celebrities there. Yeah, Lucy, yes?
He was born in 1939, so yes, life experience he has had.
He has had his share.
Wow.
He's a producer. He's probably one of these fat cats out there in Hollywood. Probably doing pretty well for himself.
By the way, Dexter points out about the
Bert Sugarman.
The whole
that's got to be a fake name.
Matt Damon, Jimmy Kimmel, Ben Affleck there together.
Yeah.
And then we posted we played you the video.
Yeah.
Dexter says, first time in Ben Affleck's life, he was the designated driver. Oh no, you got to get these two home. Get them out of here.
That's probably true. But those are the most famous guys there, those three. Taking in the game.
Yeah, it was kind of a.
Yeah, for LA, it was kind of like the Lakers, it's the who's who. The Dodgers, it's not there yet. They're not there.
I got the sense it was not hard to get tickets for last night on the secondary market.
I think those were probably, they were giving those away.
There was a very healthy Red Sox contingent there. As Alex Cora pointed out, you know, Red Sox fans travel well.
Glenn, Christian, they were there.
They were there. Well, I don't know. Did Glenn stay?
I don't know.
Because Christian posted a little photo of Glenn with his little wheeled suitcase, you know, short little legs, going through the
stands. Imagine seeing Glenn run through the airport.
No, this was in Dodger Stadium.
Oh, they were on
Stadium.
Time. Oh, at Dodger Stadium. Okay.
I think it was after they finished. Yes.
Yeah.
I got to get to the airport. He's got those
feet. He had tiny little legs.
Yeah.
That was a good breakdown. I will say, great job by Merlone being on the air for 13 hours.
He was on the air the entire weekend. He never not spoke on the radio.
And the best part of it was he never once... like complained about it or referenced it. He's like, yeah, it's the World Series. What do you want me to do? And I'm like, that was the best part. Not that he was on there, but he was like, yeah, it's baseball season. Of course I'm excited. I was like, good for him. That was awesome. That's got to be some sort of record. Now, I know Al Roker for charity did like 80 hours of weather, like uninterrupted. He did. Remember, he was like, I don't know what it was for, but he did it.
It was charity, and he set the Guinness Book of World Records.
It was
record.
A Guinness World Record. But Lou's got to have, that's got to be some kind of record. He was on a long time.
Yeah, we'll give him the Purple Heart when he gets here. 2 o'clock today.
All right. I mean, but it was pretty cool.
No, the thing I like that Lou said, he just said, like, I'll rest when it's over. He didn't pretend like I'll rest when I'm dead. He didn't do the over-dramatic.
But, like, most people would have been like, I was on for 13 hours last night. But he didn't do that.
I do 4 hours here, and I'm telling people, like, hey, man.
Four hours. All in, says Jason in there.
He really is. With Cody Rhodes.
Most of the time. 617-779-7937. Ernie's up in Maine. Hey, Ernie.
Hey, guys, how spoiled are we, man?
Big time. Big time.
So many emotions while I've been on hold. I want to make my point that I mentioned to Lucy. But first, if I could, I'd love to comment about David Price.
You know,
during the game last night, I was talking to some friends, and I was mentioning, you know, he's creeping up on MVP status here in this game. And, of course, you know, nobody wants to jinx it or whatever, so we're holding that close to the vest. But I finally – and everybody was agreeing, you know, him or Pierce.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, the post-game antics of David Price make me so glad they gave it to Stephen Pierce.
He would have been insufferable had he won it.
Why do you have to make it so easy for us to not like you? You know, just look, it's Major League Baseball. Everybody is great. Everybody out there is great, okay? So just shut up and play, please, David. We want to like you as a fan base. Don't go and do what you did after, because you're killing us with that, you know?
Yeah, look, I'm at the risk of, you know, going back over well-trod ground, I just don't think he's a very good communicator. I don't think he expresses himself very well. I often find myself saying, is that what he means, or is that what he means?
I mean, I think he meant that, though, but I think it was
he was talking about the media and the whole postseason stuff.
And fans, though, I mean, if you're just mad at the media, I don't know how you can't just ignore it or, like, get over it. Because if you know, he knows his teammates love him. He knows that. And I think more and more fans like him. So, like, do you care if somebody said that, you know, asked you a question in spring training about, you know, why could this year be different?
By the way, it would have been a legit question.
It was. Absolutely. Like, he's acting like he didn't pitch poorly in the playoffs. I mean, this very postseason, he threw an inning and two-thirds against the Yankees, so it just looked like more of the same. So, sorry if there were still questions about you pitching in the postseason, because you couldn't do it until this year. It was the first time you did it, and even then, it was split up within the postseason.
And he was great. Now, don't get me
After
wrong,
that,
he was great this year.
Yeah, well, the last three starts, he was.
Especially then.
Yeah.
Doc's up in New Hampshire. Hey, Doc.
Hey, how are you?
Good. What's going on?
Well, I'm not waiting for a doctor. I'm kidding. I just have one thing to say about you listened to Price last night and his whole accusations with the media, and then he kept sniffling like Trump. This guy is like Trump. He has the same attitude. He can't communicate too well, but he's great at what he does.
I'm very confused by the entire call.
Yeah, the whole...
He was talking about a doctor.
Well, and his name on the screen was Doc. So he could have been waiting for himself.
Oh, I don't really get it.
I didn't get it either.
He just wanted to bring up Trump, I think.
Yeah.
I'm not waiting for a doctor. I'm kidding.
Thank God you cleared that up for us, sir.
Really confusing.
I'm assuming he means he was on hold for a minute, but...
I don't know what he means.
Let's be honest. Yes. For many folks, this has been a very long weekend.
That's true.
There may have been some adult beverages involved.
That's true.
I'm not waiting for a doctor. I'm kidding.
Hey! Oh, tip your waitress.
Hey, he's funnier than Matt Damon and Jimmy Kimmel.
Oh, he's right there. They're on par.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.